We've been thinking of 2 Peter chapter 1, God's magnificent promises, verse 3. And the purpose of all of them, verse 4, is that we might partake of the divine nature. There are many promises in Scripture without any condition. And there are promises with conditions. God makes the sun to rise on the good and the evil. The sun will rise tomorrow morning on you, whether you're good or evil, without any condition. And He makes the rain to fall on the righteous and the unrighteous. There's no condition for that. But many promises of God have got a condition. Usually it's the material blessings that have no condition. And it's a great deception, like you've heard me often say, that people say that God will bless you if you pay your tithes or you give some money to Him. You can't bribe God. You can't do business with God. It's a false gospel that tells you you can do business with God or you can bribe Him to give you rewards. Every material blessing is unconditional, and that's why you find unbelievers and believers both can be prosperous, and unbelievers and believers can both be healthy. But there are certain promises with conditions. Even forgiveness of sins, repentance and faith are the conditions. If a person doesn't repent, doesn't believe, then the promise, he doesn't get the benefit of the promise. And that's why you have millions and millions of people, billions on the world, for whom Jesus died, and they don't get the benefit of His death because they haven't fulfilled the condition. And that applies to believers as well, because there are lots of promises to believers which have also got conditions, magnificent promises. Why doesn't every believer become more and more Christ-like every year? I mean, it says here these magnificent promises are so that we might partake of His nature. And why isn't everybody partaking of His nature? Why aren't people becoming more and more patient every year, more and more pure every year, more and more loving, more and more humble every year, more and more gracious in their speech? Well, I'll tell you my experience, that I have in my experience with many, many believers in many lands and of all types and all denominations, I have found that most believers go the other way. They are wholehearted when they are first converted, and you see them a few years later, they are falling into sins they would never have fallen into the day they were converted. And think of your own life and see if it's not true. There are believers who are radical, wholehearted when they are single. They become backsliders when they get married and have one or two children. It shouldn't be like that. Marriage should lift a person to a higher plane in the will of God. If he's married in the will of God, then when he is single. But what I've generally found is it's not true. Why is it not true? Because there are conditions to the promises. Those who honor Him, He honors. Those who are poor in spirit get His kingdom. And it's like that with many, many promises. Let me show you a very common misunderstanding. In John's Gospel, chapter 10, we read about what many people call eternal security. That means we can never be lost. John chapter 10, verse 28. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. That's absolute. If Jesus says they will never perish, they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. Clear. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. This is true. Absolutely true. And I've heard from my earliest time I was a believer, this verse being quoted to me so that I could find security in this verse. But what millions of believers don't see, and what was never told to me, was that this sentence begins with the word and. It's just plain simple English. You jump into the middle of a sentence and read it. There is a condition attached to it in verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. And they follow me. And then I do all these things for them. But it's a very common practice among believers to ignore the conditions and try and claim the promise. This is the main reason why many promises in Scripture are never fulfilled in the lives of many believers. For whom is eternal life promised here? Those who hear His voice and follow Him. What about those who don't hear His voice? You think every believer hears God's voice? Hearing means obeying. You think every believer is following Jesus? I don't think so. Most believers I know, they don't follow Jesus. Then how can this promise apply to them? This is the deception in Christendom today. But there's perfect security. I decided some years ago that I'm going to listen to His voice and follow Him. So, if you ask me, I know I'll never perish. I won't perish ever. I've been given eternal life. No one can snatch me out of Jesus' hand. I'm absolutely sure of that. And you can be sure of that if you decide in your life that you're going to obey the Lord 100%, and you're going to follow Him. Because that's to whom the promise is given. So there are many things like that, you know. Here's another very commonly misunderstood, misquoted verse. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Very popular verse among believers, a complete misquotation. And you know, a lot of preachers get away with it because they know that 99% of the people sitting there don't read their Bibles and they don't know what the Bible says, so they can fool them. But let me show you what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. And you'll discover the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, does not cleanse everybody from all their sins. It's only a certain type of people whose sins are cleansed. And it's important to know that. Are you one of those? See what it says in 1 John and chapter 1 in verse 7. There's a big if. And wherever you see in Scripture the words IF, capitalize it, underline it. If. That's a condition. If we walk in the light as God Himself is in the light. That means I hide nothing from God. I come into God's light and whatever God's light shows me, I own up to it. I say, Lord, that's my fault. I don't blame my wife like Adam or blame the snake like Eve blamed, and the world is full of people who are putting the blame on somebody else. Or neither do I justify myself like the Pharisees. Jesus said to the Pharisees, Luke 16:15, you are those who justify yourselves. I don't want to be like that. I walk into the light means I am willing to take the blame 100%, acknowledge my sin, feel sorry for it, and say, Lord, that's my fault. I don't want to blame anybody else in the world. I'm the sinner. I'm guilty. Do you find in your life, my brothers and sisters, ask yourself honestly, a slight bit of blaming somebody else for some sin that you fell into? You know, there are men who say, Well, I sinned, lusted because that woman dressed provocatively. You see, it's not my fault. Why do they dress like that? That's just an example. Some calamity comes into your life and you're immediately looking for whom to blame. That is the mark of the children of Adam. You're not walking in God's light. When you walk in God's light, you say, Lord, that's my fault. Nobody else's in the whole world. You'll be a blessed man if you walk like that. Because in God's light, there's cleansing. Complete cleansing. It says here the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all our sin. So make it a point in your life, like I made it a point in my life, that I would never in my life blame anybody in the world for anything. Never. And I'll tell you, it's amazing what God can do for you. When you say, Lord, I'm the guilty one. It's my fault. It's very, very difficult for human beings to say that. If we walk in the light, as God is in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. I'll tell you, as a byproduct, you'll be healthy too. You won't have so many sicknesses. But you've got to walk in the light. You've got to decide you're never going to blame anybody in the world but yourself for everything. See, that's the difference between Adam and Christ. When Adam committed one sin, he couldn't take the responsibility for it. He had to blame his wife. But when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he took the blame for all our sins. And he said, Father, it's okay. I'll take it. I'll take it as it was, as if it were my sin. That's the difference between Adam and Christ. Adam couldn't take the blame for his own sin. Christ could take the blame for the sins of the whole world. So these are little things like this, you know, where if you read the scriptures carefully, you'll get the benefit of that promise. But if you just try to claim the promise and ignore the condition, or listen to some preacher who doesn't show you the scriptures, and you don't know the scriptures yourself, and you claim some promise without seeing the condition, you'll find it just does not work.